Blog Talk Radio.
Here it goes again, what's next? I'm feeling pain over again in my chest. I need love, and I ain't talking about sex. But God is my friend, and I know that I'm blessed. I remember thinking drugs gonna cure my stress. I remember trying to win, but I ain't won yet. A young man in the wild when I left the nest. One man, one child, trying to do my best. I was running with the crowd into the mess. I remember them trials put to the test. See, I done got my ex representing unknown. One day I heard God calling, I ain't need no phone. Even though I was small, I was oh so strong. Feeling oh so sick, cause I'm far from home. And if you talking about heat, it'll drain you when it's on. Every day of the week, I work my fingers to the bone. See, I was hanging with the veins and staring in the room. I bear witness life a change, put you where you belong. Now I'm working with the angels to do for my own. I see life in different angles and one from the throne. Looking for love from a stranger, come on. In life, you can't teach a man unless you shame. It's like you can't keep a friend unless you fame. I'm a lion, I'm a soldier, you can't tame. My people looking off the road and don't know where they lane is. You can't grow no further than where your brain is. Knowledge, man, I heard you, no one can drain it. And if you got will, then put it where your pain is. Got me feeling like steel, feeling like stain. You see what's real, you gotta be the one to change. A lot of people need healing, I'm the doctor that'll bring. Yeah, this one's for the brothers, the sisters, the homies. And this is his story and my testimony. I couldn't tell him better than the way that I can show him. The way I feel your pain, the way I feel it strong. This one's for the brothers, the sisters, the homies. And this is his story and my testimony. You gotta get your life right when you're living wrongly. And if you're talking weight, God knows it is on.
You see, this ain't no dream, in fact a real story about a young king. Human being slash war. How my God came back to restore me, bruh. He fed knowledge to my dome and it only gets better. Brought me into his home when it was stormy weather. Told me, look how we dividing when we supposed to be together. And that's the work of a demon, the work of a devil. It's time to rock and roll, put the pedal to the metal. And if you got gold, it's time to read them like hello. And if you're talking jail, then I done been to several. And I done been to hell, in the belly of the ghetto. In the belly of the beast, and if you're sick, you can't tell though. And if you want more, but less you can't settle. Tell me how my people dying for the figures in the top five. See you a god, but a nigga in the cop eyes. We gotta love one another, fight for each other. Can't be scared to kill your enemy, but quick to kill your brothers. This one's for the brothers, the sisters, the homies. And this is his story and my testimony. I couldn't tell him better than the way that I can show him. The way I feel your pain, the way I feel it strong. This one's for the brothers, the sisters, the homies. And this is his story and my testimony. You gotta get your life right when you're living wrongly. And if you're talking weight, God knows it is on me. Yeah, yeah.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst, and it is my distinct honor to greet all of you in the listening audience, as well as our panelists and our hosts and our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you, family. And it is also my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you a brother who has devoted his entire life to the cause of our people and to helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have so many beautiful brothers in the nation, but it is a rare and beautiful find to find a brother who has so dedicated and so in love with our people. So without further ado, allow me to present our distinguished host tonight, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. And as always, I am humbled by the wonderful words that I hope one day Allah will bless me to be worthy of in your introduction of me. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom we forever give praise and thanks for his making himself known to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and he then making him known to all of us. Through him, we have received the blessing of the knowledge of the person of Almighty God, Allah, that he may serve as an example of what ultimately we can become. We thank Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messiah, the exalted Christ. And we can never thank Allah and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad enough for that one whom Allah, through the honorable Elijah Muhammad, fashioned and shaped and prepared for us and for this critical hour at which we have arrived. The hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of both the righteous and the wicked and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, I'm very happy and honored to greet all of you in the listening audience and our esteemed panelists with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language once again, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And I'm very, very happy to present to you and to introduce to you our brother who will be a panelist this evening. He is Student Minister James Muhammad. He has been in the ministry for 12 years. He is married, has been married for 18 years, and has 8 children. He services as he is the Student Regional Prison Reform Minister in the Southern Region. He services about 3 to 4 prisons a week. And he talks to about 800 men a month. This is our brother, Student Minister James Muhammad. I also wish to say that on behalf of the student coordinator and minister of Montgomery, Alabama, who Brother James assists, Brother Desmond Muhammad, who I did ask to be on the show, and this is not taking anything away from my brother James, but he had asked me if I would extend his love and greetings to the listening audience tonight. And he is grateful to you, Brother James, as well as we all are, for standing and representing him in his absence. So thank you, Brother James, for the time you've taken out of your schedule to represent the Prison Reform Ministry and to represent Student Minister Desmond Muhammad and, of course, overall, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother James.
Wa alaikum salam, brother and sister, and thank you for having me on and giving me the opportunity to represent not only Brother Desmond from the city of Montgomery, Alabama, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And I'm the Assistant Regional Student Minister of Prison Reform of the Southern Region under the leadership of Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad, former Marine Captain. So on their behalf, I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I'm eager to see what we have going on this evening, and the praise of Allah guide us and light of understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, beloved. And, of course, all who are listening should know, but if you don't, I'll share with you that last week we were blessed to celebrate the 18th anniversary of the Day of Atonement and the Million Man March in the city of Tuskegee, Alabama. Montgomery played, of course, well, all the cities played a critical part in the celebration, but Montgomery, of course, was outstanding and pronounced in that hosting of that Day of Atonement. Again, for those of you who may not know, although all probably do know, the Million Man March was convened on October 16, 1995, called for by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Many in the initial call and at the time of the initial call wondered what would be the purpose for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calling a million men to Washington on October 16th. And as we neared the day, the talk escalated, and what the people wondered began to escalate as well. And, of course, the comments regarding the purpose for which he made this call were abundant. Some said or thought that he was going to lead us in a protest to the government for better conditions as they relate to black people. Some thought that he would break out into an emotional tirade, calling to account the evils of America and the American government and white people. Some thought that he made the call to proselytize the religion of Islam and to get followers. Little did they know that Allah God guided the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to call the people to atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. He pointed out to us on that day that atonement was an eight-step process, the first of which was to point out the wrong. The second of which was to acknowledge the wrong. And then the third of which was to confess the fault. And the fourth was to repent for the fault or the wrong. And as a result of those four processes being accomplished, we would then enter into a state of atonement, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan explained was to become one again with those who we offended, but ultimately to become one with Almighty God, Allah. And then after that fifth step of atonement, there was forgiveness. And the seventh was reconciliation and restoration. And finally, completing the process of atonement was achieving the perfect union with Allah. And of course, our people, to become one again with our Creator. He called us to account, black men, that is, for what we had not been doing in the way of duty to our women, to our children, to our communities, and to our nation. 18 years ago, 2 million men gathered, and of course there were women present as well, gathered on the Mall in Washington. And while much was accomplished as a result of that gathering and the aftermath of that gathering, yet we still are faced with conditions that require our immediate attention. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, on this 18th celebration, focused on our responsibility to build an economic future for our children. He reiterated his introduction of the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and shared with us through his National Assistant Student Minister Ismail Muhammad, who, by the way, did a magnificent job in representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and the atonement message. We are thankful to Almighty God Allah that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, after having a bout of bacterial infection, and as a result being hospitalized for a brief period, is now out of the hospital and recuperating well. We thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we thank Allah for those whom he has prepared to represent the message, not the personality, but the message and the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And again, Minister Ismail did a magnificent job and assured us that this Nation of Islam is not dependent upon a charismatic personality. This Nation of Islam is the Creator's nation, and as such, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has prepared leadership and structure and protocol to take us on into the future ad infinitum. The Nation of Islam, the Nation of Freedom, Justice, and Equality. We have today, again, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad representing Montgomery, representing the activity of that day. And we want to hear from you, dear brother, some of your thoughts regarding the events of that day. And, of course, what's next in terms of following up on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. On that day, we spent here in Montgomery, Alabama, Brother Desmond Muhammad, the student coordinator of Montgomery, Alabama, and also student coordinator Brother Mikhail out of Tuskegee. I was with them at least a month before the Holy Day of Atonement, as we were in the cities along with the rest of the southern region, speaking with the people, passing out flyers and answering their questions on the Nation of Islam, and also why the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March would be in Tuskegee. As we moved through the city and met with leaders, Brother Ismail Muhammad and Brother Mikhail and Brother Desmond were part of at least three town hall meetings that were headed up by the mayor of that city, Mayor Ford. In those meetings, the citizens of the community came out, and they were, at first they were wondering what was going on, but then by the time we had the second town hall meeting, they were excited as people were coming into the city, and they were seeing hundreds and hundreds of more Muslims coming into the city and getting to know the Nation of Islam, the younger generation mainly. Many have not, they have heard of the Nation of Islam, but in a negative way. But our presence in the city was able to show a younger community, as Tuskegee is mainly a college town. You're either an elder person or you're a young person. There's really not much middle ground, 25, 30, 35. So we were able to introduce them to the Nation of Islam. But as we got closer and closer to the Holy Day of Atonement, the city was electrified. As far as Montgomery, where we stayed in our host hotel, the Renaissance, and the embassy, it was even the people that was parking the cars were electrified. They were so excited, not only to see the Nation of Islam, but to see people that aren't in the Nation of Islam coming in from out of town, Christians and other religious faiths and just people that were businessmen were celebrating their 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. They were coming into town with their sons, who were now 18 years old or 15 or 16 years old, to see what their daddy experienced some 18 years ago. So in our meetings with Brother Ishmael Muhammad on the day before and the morning of, he was, we were all nervous because we knew that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was in the hospital, but we they talked with him and they learned that he was doing well. He was just waiting on the doctor to release him, but he wasn't released in time to come to Tuskegee until the following day is when he was released. The energy of the people that were on the panel, Mayor Ford, the city council, they were so excited to have us there. They were so excited to see so many black men come back, along with their families, of course. But to see though that many black men standing and then bringing their families with them was an upliftment to the women in the community to see what the effects of the Million Man March, as we even have our brother that's hosting us, Brother James as well, and Brother Desmond Muhammad and Brother McCown, all were present that day. So it was electrifying. The message, I believe, was for Brother Ishmael to deliver. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from what I'm told, called the day of after it was over with and expressed his joy and that he was proud of what he saw while watching it on the NOI webcast. He was watching it, and he was just so excited to see the love and unity of the believers in the communities and to see Brother Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad carry the message that day. So the energy of the message is where the power is, and knowing that it comes from Allah and that we should not forget the message, but to look at why the message. And the message is for us to unite and pool our resources, which has been the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad since I've been in the nation, a little over 19 years now, is for us to pool our resources. And right now, we're not asking for a lot, or a lot is not needed from any of us. The messenger said just 5 cents a day.
That's right.
Only 5 cents. You know, at that time was a lot of money in the 30s and 40s. But right now, 5 cents. You know, you can't do nothing with 5 cents no more. You can't even buy bubble gum.
Go ahead, brother.
5 cents. So he's asking, saying, look, if you just give 5 cents, and all of us that's on the phone and all of us listening, we may have several hundred dollars just from today. Just from the day we may have that, and from throughout the weekend, we may have thousands of dollars that we can use to buy farmland. Not only farmland, but we can use to buy machines and factories. And I was talking to the guy here in Birmingham. He was complaining how the white man is moving, setting himself up to move downtown, and he's pushing the black people out of downtown. And I told him I didn't have a problem with it because we want the land. They can have downtown. There's no land downtown. We need to. That's what we need, the land. We can put cows on. We can grow some food because there's a day coming where the scripture foretells of a famine. And if the minister and the messenger, everything is in place for the black man and woman to rule again, as we have ruled before. But it started with 18 years ago, October the 16th on a Monday, 1995. It started that day, and it showed the world that we are coming together and that we will one day be united. And I think that what we have going on today, not only in America but in the world, in the entire world, will prove to the world, prove to everyone that Allah, God, came in the person of a man, and that we indeed have a Messiah in
That's
the person
right.
of the Son of Elijah Muhammad, and we indeed have a comforter and nourisher in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. All of us, according to the teaching and what we are taught, all of us make up Allah, all of us. And when we work together, we will be able to deliver our people. But we must have land. We must have tractors. We must have farms. We must have these things that we can go forth. And it all starts with 5 cents a day. Just 5 cents, not even a cup of Starbucks coffee. Just 5 cents a day. That's all it starts with. And so this message, as powerful as it was, I don't know if it will be understood until that day comes that we need this land. And that's when we'll say, man, I wish I had put them 5 cents up a day and did something for ourselves. So it was a powerful day, and I'm thankful that Allah allowed me to see it along with the young, the youth. The youth want to put up 5 cents, and one of the sisters that's in Montgomery, she's basically the whole Twitter army by herself. Sister Anissa Muhammad tweeted out several times the economic blueprint page where you can go and sign up and receive emails daily from the economic blueprint page, and also where you can send your money on a regular basis. And she's just a teenager. She's like 14 years old. And she's tweeting all over the city of Montgomery, and I've had several articles in the Final Call. That's the power of the message of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And these young people, they're tweeting. These young people are representing the message, not necessarily the persona or the speaker of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They're representing the message of freedom, justice, and equality given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which came from Allah himself in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. So I'm thankful for them, brother, and I'm thankful for this opportunity.
As are we, Brother James, and thank you very much for your wonderful comments. And we agree with you that the movement, the centerpiece of the movement, is, of course, our youth. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did state publicly that those young people who were tweeting and retweeting his message in the social media, both on Twitter as well as Facebook and Instagram and all of the aspects, this Blog Talk Radio Network included, that are getting the message out, who are getting the message out of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to his people and to the world. I am so thankful to Almighty God, Allah, for our young people, and we are thankful to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a man who can capture the minds of our young people, the prize that the enemy, the satanic mind, is after. The mind of our young people. So, yes, dear brother, it was a wonderful event, and the manifestation, our unity, as it was evident that day, I was blessed to be there, and the beautiful message that Minister Ishmael delivered and the wonderful and inspirational instruction we received from Student Sister Minister Donna Farrakhan. This is a new day. This is a new stage and elevation of our nation. And I was so pleased to be a part of it. What was illuminating to me, what was educating to me, I must admit, was the relationship of Booker T. Washington and the principles that he represented as they related so closely to the teachings, instruction, and training of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to us who are members, both men and women, who are members of the Nation of Islam. I must admit, I was not aware of the close relationship the legacy of those men and women who were portrayed on the backdrop or the picture of on the stage. That legacy now is on the shoulders of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I believe, brother, I'm confident that this time we're going to come together in unity, recognizing the commonality of our need and also the commonality of our enemies. This is a wonderful, wonderful time. I thank you for your opening remarks. Brother James, I'd like to inform you, dear brother, that this is an audience-based show and forum. We love to get the audience involved earlier on in the show, and there'll be questions as well as statements and comments, but there'll be questions that, inshallah, we would like you to respond to as our panelists. So at this time, dear brother, if you don't mind, I'd like to go to the audience if there are any, as we say, any hands up waiting to make comments or to ask questions.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Green. At this point, no one has their hand up. I do, however, have a question that will will be related to what we're discussing tonight, but at this point, there's no one in the audience or the chat room. I don't know if Queen Aziza has anybody at this point.
Yes, I have a couple of questions in Yahoo chat. But go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, this is what my question, and it relates in the sense of how Allah brings everything together. In part 41 of The Time and What Must Be Done, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated this. He says, in 2011, President Obama shattered the single-year record for disaster declarations with 242 disasters in total. Before him, only President George W. Bush declared more, having signed an average of 129 disaster declarations a year while in office. He was in office 8 years, and every year of his eight, over 129 disasters a year, and after 2011, which has the record of disasters. Now, this is the part I really want to get to. The minister says, I said again, watch the weather, because God doesn't fight with your cheap weapons. God fights with the forces of nature, rain, hail, snow, wind, drought. He uses the insects and the animals and turns nature against you. You can't win in a war against God. Now, also in reference to that, slow machinery, weather. The dictionary describes weather as this: the state of the atmosphere with respect to heat or cold, wetness or dryness, calm or storm, clearness or cloudiness. State or vicissitude of life or fortune. Now, with that as the base, my question is this, Student Minister James Muhammad. Told us to watch the weather, so the weather doesn't just have to refer to rain and hail and snow, but it also refers to climate, atmosphere. So watching the weather, what was the climate? What was the weather? And I don't mean the rain and the sun, but the people. At the Holy Day of Atonement in Tuskegee.
So you're talking me?
Yes, sir. Well, he may have mentioned my name. Let me, for a point of clarity, Brother James, actually all of the questions will be directed to you, dear brother. You are our panelist, and we'd like to hear from you.
Okay, yes, sir. I know James is on here. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. The atmosphere was very energetic, and I mean very energetic from what I was able to experience. We was able to look at the faces of the elders
that were in the city. Tuskegee has a lot of elders in Tuskegee. And when you see their face, you know, Tuskegee is an old city. You know, you don't see a bunch of restaurants in the city. You got like one Subway and I think a McDonald's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I'm not sure if it was a Burger King there or not, but that's about it in that city. You don't have, like we have in our cities, wing outs and all these wings and things. You don't have that. But when they saw all of the young come in, and they saw 18, 19, 20, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, so excited, helping the elders, you know, with their stuff, with their chairs, and coming out of their vehicles. When they saw the men in suits and ties and bow ties assisting them, when they saw the young so respectful with yes, ma'am, and no, sir, yes, sir, when they saw the energy of the day, the day before it was, you know, kind of rainy and cloudy, but the day of, you know, the sun was beaming. I mean, not in heat, but it was so bright, and the energy in the city, the atmosphere, you know, was love. The atmosphere was where people wanted to be there. They wanted to bask in that energy of that day. And even so, when the event was over, back at the hotels, you can see the young, they were just running around, sitting in the lobby. And I'm not talking young, like 10-year-olds. I'm talking teenagers. They were so fired up about the Twitter army, by going on Facebook, that you can see them in the lobby. And they were just tweeting and texting away and Facebooking what they experienced at the at that day of the Holy Day of Atonement, but to sit outside in lawn chairs and look up and see the people, you know, to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I mean, to see Brother Ishmael Muhammad and see us represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the power and presence of the spirit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that day. It's so energetic and so powerful that the weather that day, if anybody would that was not there, you would have saw, you would have felt like you was basking in the sun, basking in the glory of God that day. And that's how powerful and bright the energy was, that where the skin of the people was illumined, well, with light and life. And it was just so exciting. So when he said watch the weather that day, it was very clear and powerful and a healing weather, a healing energy on that day, dear brother. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Let's continue on. Sister Aziza did say that there were some questions online.
Yes, sir. We have a question from Rios One. He says, when will the NOI come to the Mexican neighborhood?
He said, when will the NOI come to the Mexican neighborhood?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know that in Montgomery, we were blessed at the hotel to meet Brother Abel. And we spoke with Brother Abel, at least in the Montgomery area, about coming back. And what he told us about a program that he's doing and we will do in our city is he will come to the city sometime during the week and we will go on to the radio stations that the Spanish-speaking radio stations and introduce himself and the Nation of Islam to them, so that we can put together a program like on a Saturday afternoon where they can come out and we can introduce the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad specifically to them and then do the message on Sunday. That's a program that I think will be coming out of Chicago. But I think the reason that you don't really see or we don't see as many people in the Spanish community is because, like myself, I don't speak Spanish. So I think communication would not be as clear as it would be if we spoke Spanish. And as we're working, you see some men and some women, sisters in the community are learning Spanish. I think that the thing that is keeping this from happening is the inability to speak and communicate properly and clearly with each other. I think that that is what the problem lies, not fear or not wanting to pass the message on. It's just a fear of improper communication of the message. And the message of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to be delivered clearly that even a child can understand it. So now you have more Spanish people speaking, individuals coming into the nation, and that is helping us broaden our scope to where we can go into those communities. For we ought to speak the language clearly. And at the moment, we don't speak the language clearly in Spanish, but there are those of us that do speak the language clearly in Spanish, and we will be in their communities this year and even more next year. And I would tell the individual to reach out to the local representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let him know that you are interested in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and that you would like for someone to come into your community and present him and, as far as what Islam is and find someone that can deliver the message clearly. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Brother Jameson, thank you. We also have a question, a comment and a question from Cheryl. She says, will they take this energy express into our troubled communities? Many are always going to big, sophisticated venue places, but we need to see positive, unified men in the neighborhood where our children are dying.
Could you repeat that one more time?
Yes, sir. She says, will they take this energy express? I guess she's talking about the energy you expressed at the venue of the Holy Day of Atonement. She said, will you take that energy express into our troubled community? Many always go to big, sophisticated places and venues, but we need to see positive, unified men in the neighborhoods where our children are dying.
Oh, okay, I got you now. Yes, ma'am. From what I've Allah has allowed me to be on several conference calls, I think that's the number one focus right now. I know that in Montgomery, Alabama, and in Tuskegee, we are going to do everything to go into the communities, not just hold this energy. Our goal is to go into the community and let them know what is going on, to pass this energy on to them. For those that didn't go, we want to introduce them to the time of what must be done and hold meetings into the local community centers where our people are at or apartment complex, and then play it so that they can see what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that they can experience what it is. So we're looking to open up somewhere. I know one lady that was a supervisor at one of the hotels was excited that when she saw the MGT in their garment. So we wanted to let her know, okay, we can have people come and show you why they wear the garments, what is the reason for the garments, why do we wear bow ties, why do we wear suits, you know, why do we look a certain way. That type of energy is, some of it to them is unknown, so we want to go and educate them. We're not here to do big venues. We have to reach our people in order to get to a big venue. And if you remember before the Million Man March, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was touring the country doing men-only meetings. And then he did a thing about the thing about crack cocaine, and he was just touring the country before he even put together, before the thing about the Million Man March even came to him. So we have to reach out to the smaller communities where our people are at. Once again, I would advise Sister Cheryl to reach out to a representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and let them know that, hey, we need you and our brothers and sisters in this community, and so that you can pass this on to these sisters so that we can start back teaching them how to prepare food properly, how to have home-make skills, and show the men how to not only to respect the black woman, but how to protect and provide for the black woman and the children that we produce. So as we work together, we can't have fear in learning something else. We cannot have fear. We have to be able to reach out to what you see in the Nation of Islam, because it's designed by God for our people. This is not a vainglorious thing. This is not about vanity and people riding around in big cars and big houses. This is about delivering and saving our people. The Nation of Islam is here to help and assist our people. That is what we're here for. That is why Allah came. He didn't come for something else. He came to deliver us and save us and bring us back to our own. We just have to accept our own. And once we accept our own, we'll be able to do for self. So, dear sister, please reach out to a representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and let them know that you want them in your community. And then you help them, show them where to go in your community, that we may be successful, all of us, as we work together and pool not only our financial resources but our intellectual resources as well. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James.
Yes, thank you.
I just want to remind the listening audience that for those of you who are on the phone, if you have questions, please press 1 on your dial pad, and Brother Kareem will take your question. Okay, we have another question from Glenn. And Glenn wants to know, how has the government shutdown affected the farmers in the South?
How has the government shutdown affected what?
The farmers.
Even before the government shut down, the farmers in the South were suffering because the black farmers don't receive really any money. You know, we fighting lawsuits, you know, and trying to sue the government for money. But the thing that I see in my travels around Alabama is the government or those, the white man, they're moving. And they're leaving this property basically for you to just do what you want to do with it. So we found farmers, or not farmers per se, we found people in Tuskegee where the children just moved to the big cities, Atlanta and New York, Chicago. They wanted to get away from the farmland. So now the land is just sitting there uncultivated. And so it's easy now to go in and purchase the land. The farmers that farm the land are having difficulty because the big commercialized stores like Walmart are coming in and they're shipping food from all over the country, and they're not accepting the food from the farmers in the local cities. So the farmers are going out of business. They're losing because people aren't buying their product. Most of us are lazy, and we just go to Walmart. And we go to Walmart and buy food that's coming from somewhere else. And while doing that, the farmer goes out of business. And when he goes out of business, the community loses because there's not a local producer of fresh farm products that our people can use and that our people can eat, which will cause us to have sickness, because the commercialized food is sickness. is sickness all in itself. You know, cows don't produce all these different types of milk. These different types of milk are produced in labs. And so we need our farmers, and wherever you have farmers, Glenn, support them. Support them. They're selling milk, support them. If they're selling tomatoes and a farm, we saw a farmer in Tuskegee out in front of his farm. He had a stand, a vegetable stand. And Muslims were buying, we bought up everything because there was an opportunity to get fresh vegetables. So wherever you see a farmer, whether it's in the south, on out west, or wherever you find a farmer, please support them. And by you supporting the farmers, especially the black farmer, you will see that that farmer is able to keep producing on his land, and keep and his land, once it produces for him, it produces for us, and then we're able to, when this famine comes that is predicted to come, we'll be able to have food because our farmers will be raising food and producing food for us. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. That was a beautiful answer. Okay, that's all I have for right now, so I guess you all will keep talking and they'll keep coming up with questions.
Yes, ma'am. Brother James?
I'm sorry. The focus, of course, I was on mute, brother, to make sure that any of my movements would not interrupt your responses to the questions. But the focus, again, for this 18th annual celebration was and is, of course, the economic blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And by extension, it is a focus on the ability of black people as a whole to free ourselves from the deplorable economic condition that 400 years of slavery has rendered us in. We are almost a totally dependent people, and we're dependent upon the enemy, of course, to feed us, to clothe us, to shelter us, to guide us. And as such, he commands our freedom of movement. He limits our growth and development. And, of course, since, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan revealed, his desire, his policy, is to cull the population of the earth by 2 to 3 billion. And in that culling, of course, featured prominently is the black man and woman of America and the darker people of the world. The conditions of disparity where jobs are concerned, where education is concerned, the lack of representation in the colleges on behalf of black men and the great representation of black men in the prisons, all of these problems are the focus. And what is rooted in that, the basis of that, of course, is, as you said, land. Because out of the land, we get product. Out of the land, we get industry. And out of industry, we get manufacturing. And out of manufacturing, we get business and we get jobs and we get wealth. So let's talk about this focus on economics. First of all, I'd like to announce where we now can send our monies that hopefully we have been saving, those nickels, from the time the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced reintroduced the economic blueprint. And that address is Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Ending Poverty and War. Make checks payable to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint and mail your donation to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway Bank and Trust Company. Attention, Cheryl Russell, that's P.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619-9522. And, of course, for more information, we can go to the website economicblueprint.org. I just wanted to make that announcement, and we'll be making that announcement throughout the show And as we move toward the close of the first hour of the show, we want to get into some of the message of Minister Ishmael, beautiful message that illuminated our capability if we would but unite, our ability to free ourselves if we would but unite. So let's talk about that message and some of its points, Brother James, and I'll open up the floor to you.
Yes, sir. To me, I think that what Brother Ishmael was saying to our people is pretty much what we, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, would have said. As we talk about focus that touched me more is about atonement.
Yeah.
And when you have atonement, something that I've learned in the studies and things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us, is how to confront. Once you are able to confront things, then you have the strength to challenge the weakness of self and the darkness that is around us. So when we have family members that are families or communities where we don't talk to each other because of some pain or something that has happened to us, whenever we lose the ability to confront, we become a weak people. But when we have the ability to confront as atonement, it really gives us that ability for me to come to a Brother James or Brother Kareem and say, look, brother, you offended me, or you hurt me when you said so-and-so, or you hurt me when you did this to me. And by doing that, it unites us together as a community, and it shows unity, for the last step is perfect union with God. But we can't have perfect union with God if we're walking around with hatred in our hearts for our brother, a hatred in our hearts for our sister. Atonement gives us the ability to move together as one, and as we move together as one, we then can unite. But we can't unite if we hold something against our brother or sister for something that may have been done to us by our brother and sister. For the black man and woman have been lied to since 1555. We've been lied,
right,
beaten, robbed, murdered, raped, deceived, and what Malcolm X would say, bamboozled, hoodwinked. And so now we've lost the ability to confront. So we would walk around, and even though we are Christians, we wouldn't even follow the scriptures where they say don't even go to bed at night if your brother has offended you. And then some scriptures say if your brother has offended you, then go to your brother. And then if your brother does not accept that apology, then take two or three people with you. And then if your brother does not accept that, take it to the church. And if your brother still does not accept that, he will be known as a heathen before. So atonement has been in the culture of the black man and woman since the beginning of time. That's how we keep peace. To have peace, we have to be able to confront. And atonement gives us that ability, for you have to be strong enough for me to come to you and point out the wrong. So once we have atonement, it's easy for us to come together as one. Once we come together as one in perfect union with Allah, it's easy for us to build a community. A community, or in Islam we say ummah, of one. Community of men and women that love God, men and women that love the brotherhood, the sisterhood, that respects marriage, that respects the family ties, that respect one another. We have this in atonement. So atonement is not just a word or something that we use, a cliche. Atonement is real. And when we use atonement, and where you find atonement, you find people that will stand together. So atonement is the message of today. But as you look at that
atonement process. As you had called out earlier, the first thing we have to do is point out the wrong. And many of us have been abused. Many of us have lost family members. And I've heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say, and through my travels, you have brothers and sisters that don't even speak to each other. Mothers that don't even speak to their daughters anymore for some wrong that was done. But when you point out the wrong, when you go to a person to point out the wrong, it's up to the next person that offended you to acknowledge that they hurt you. So it's, even if they don't acknowledge that they hurt you, when you confront the person and point out the wrong, that's strength all in itself for you to do that. The brotherly thing is to look into it and say, wow, I hurt you. I didn't know that hurt you or offended you. Please pardon me. Forgive me. And then we seek to set atonement for that after we point it out. But atonement is a very powerful principle that if we just carry atonement in our everyday lives, on our jobs, when we're talking with people, or when we're trying to build relationships, if we can just carry the atonement process and use the atonement process, you will find that not only do you heal the community, but some of us just need to atone with ourselves. We've done to ourselves, the way we treat ourselves. You know, we don't eat properly, we don't exercise properly, and the way we treat ourselves, we just have to acknowledge that we've mistreated ourselves. Well, it starts with self first, and then we go through our home. We talk to our wives, and we try to become a perfect union with our wives or the wives and the husbands, and then to the children that we can have a perfect family. A perfect family and perfect union with Allah in that sense. But we have to have a family strong enough for what we're about to go through.
Yes,
what we're about to go through is what Scripture has called a famine. And a famine is something that where there may not be no water. It may, with that principle that we have in the Nation of Islam, that if I got a bowl of bean soup, half of that bowl is my brother's. Well, that is a day coming where that principle may be tested. And the same thing for my sister. I want for my sister what I want for myself. There's a day coming where that principle will be tested. But most of us don't believe that a famine is coming. Even those scriptures prophesy that there's one in Revelation that I refer to where it say that men and women will be looking at their little fat babies with a thought in their mind.
Yes.
And that's powerful. For dear brother, for
yes,
where you
sir.
That means that you looking at you're gonna be so hungry that you will look at your own child with a thought in mind. Now I'm not a person that know how to hunt. I'm lazy like most people and go to the grocery store and get my stuff out of the grocery store. I don't even fish, and I like fish, but I know that I like tomatoes and onions and to go in my bean soup and bell peppers. But I've learned over the last year that I got to go out there and learn how to till the soil. I got to go out there and provide a way for my wife and my children because I don't want that to happen to me where I'm looking at my babies with a thought in mind. I want to be able to go out there in my yard and provide food for my family. This is something that is real. And I want to be in perfect union with Allah with my brother James and brother Kareem. So that if I got tomatoes and he got onions and the sister, she got beans, and we can make a pot of soup where all of us can eat because we pool our resources. And that's what it is. We pool our resources. So the atonement message is first. Once we have the atonement, we can remove doubt and suspicion from each other. That would allow us to pool our resources at 5 cents a day. Which is really no money at all. Generally, most of us, if you go to Starbucks once a week, just once.
That's right.
A week out of 7 days, that's more money than 5 cents a day in a 7-day period that you could have donated to yourself in the account that Brother James had put out there for us. And we'll put that back out there again for this atonement process. It is a very real process.
because to be able to acknowledge the wrong that you've done to another person is like confession. You once I acknowledge that, okay, Brother James, I didn't know I offended you with that. See, that lets you know that I care about your feelings, and I care that you have been offended, and what can I do, brother, to help heal this moment, to make it better? So that's atonement. We have to atone with each other. Once we atone with each other, I think it'll be a lot easier for us to do the 5 cents a day. But if we don't atone, I think that we'll misplace the message, and then we'll fall into personalities. For the Nation of Islam is not about personalities. It's about Allah and all of us coming together to resurrect our people as we are being resurrected with Allah. So I think that what Brother Ishmael gave us in the atonement process is the whole, is the basis of community development. And once you have a community, self-development, community development, then we can build a world of freedom, justice, and equality for ourselves and for our people. So I thank Allah for giving us Brother Ishmael and for the hard work that he's done over the last several years with the webcast and being able to submit himself to learn what the learn the way of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I saw myself him tirelessly falling asleep in the car because we were up and down the highway between Tuskegee and Montgomery and Birmingham and Selma trying to raise the awareness of the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. And that is, his brother came all the way from Chicago and was in the, and what, you know, coming from the city to the country is a big move. It's a big difference when you see cornfields and real cows and bulls on side of the road.
Oh, yes, sir, brother. I've experienced that coming from New York. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So you don't see subways and pavement everywhere. You see, you may travel 5 miles before you see the next store. You know, so I think that I'm thankful for him. I believe the key point to what he said is atonement. And then the pooling of our resources, which close to the end of this message, he really talked about us pooling our resources and what we spend money on to let us see that 5 cents a day is a very small thing. It's very small. Most of us, we spend 5 cents, $10 a day just on lunch, Starbucks and one of them brownies or something. So I think that we can come together and come with the 5 cent day, but I really practice atonement with each other. And I think that that's really what the more honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan, wants for us to atone with each other, atone with Allah, and then pool our resources so that we'll be prepared for a day of famine. Dear brother,
but I think for the best.
Thank you, Brother James, and I agree with you. And as we talk about atonement, the beauty of the economic blueprint is in large part the simplicity of it. And that, of course, gives rise to the question as to why simple as the solution being proposed is, why black people have not embraced it under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and why are we slow to come together to embrace such a beautiful but simple solution to a complex problem? This underscores, dear brother, and punctuates, in my humble opinion, what you say regarding the importance of atonement. And, you know, as we speak about atonement, it is, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, an eight-step process. More often than not, when we, it is in my experience and in my observation, more often than not, when we offend one another, in our efforts to atone, our professed effort to atone, we usually will just say, well, brother, it's all right, sister, it's all right, I forgive you, and that's that, and we move on. But Almighty God, Allah, has revealed to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that this process in total and completion is an 8-step process, and I fear that we think that when Allah reveals a message and the solution through his messenger, if we abbreviate the message, we can get a full and complete benefit. I would hasten to say to all of us, myself first and foremost, that if it is an 8-step process, and it is, then we must engage in each step. We cannot abbreviate it or truncate it, if you will, and expect to get the full benefit. So I wanted to mention those words of caution. Again, first and foremost, as a reminder to myself, but to all who are listening, atonement absolutely is the first step, and it's rooted in love. Let us look at our beloved sister and daughter of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In her words, she stated in her inspiring message, Farrakhan has loved us. I am asking in his name that ye love one another as he has loved us, with great passion and affection. He has gone before us so we could see how and know what love looks like. You don't have to guess what love looks like or how love serves. You've had an example in front of you for over 50 years serving the black man and woman of America and humanity. Beautiful words. And they illuminate a wonderful example of love in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his people, first and foremost for God and his Christ and his people and the whole of humanity. Atonement. Very well put, dear brother. It is indeed the high point of this celebration and the first step to any success of an economic blueprint. Let's continue on in the show. Sister Aziza, are there any in the audience who'd like to weigh in on this subject? Or Brother Kareem, any on the phones at this time?
No, sir, not at this time. There was someone with their hand up, but they put it down, so I don't know if they're going to put it back up or not. But
perhaps Brother James answered their question before they could ask it. All praise be to Allah. Sister Ziva, is there anyone?
I have some, but I have to refresh my screen, so just give me a few minutes, and I'll be able to pull them back up. My screen went dead, so I had to refresh. But go ahead and proceed, please. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have to say, Brother James, that I'm greatly appreciative of you, brother, coming on the show. I love your spirit. It exudes so much humility and the simple but beautiful points that you bring out from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message and, of course, the message delivered by our student minister and national assistant to the minister, Minister Ishmael. Wonderful. Let's continue on with some of your thoughts, dear brother, while we await our sister refreshing her screen.
Yes, sir, brother. When he was speaking, I have my phone on mute. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I want to say that speaking, I was thinking about on this Sunday, part two of the message that was delivered on last Sunday will be delivered this Sunday from Chicago. We believe it to be coming from student minister Brother Ishmael as well.
Very good.
sit with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and to receive more guidance and more information. And I think that the information that will come out this Sunday will be more of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that will be given to us. But all of it comes from Allah. And I will ask the people that we have to, now is the time, a time is coming now where we have to depend more on Allah. For it is written in Scripture that a day will come. You know, the messengers of Allah, when you read them, read about the messengers in Scriptures, you know, Allah had to remove the messenger in order for what all that the messenger brought would be coming, would come into fruition. So there's a time where we won't have a messenger in our midst, and it'll be a time for us to stand up together. And this holy day of atonement is a day that was set up by Allah through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for us to come together as one. And in this, I would want the people to really focus on what role do you play yourself in this atonement process. You know, we sometimes in our anger, we want to see retribution. People that offended us. But when it comes time for retribution on us, we want to be forgiven. You know, but we need in the atonement process, as you want to be forgiven and I want to be forgiven, we have to be able to forgive those around us. For all, nothing happens without Allah's permission, nothing. Whatever takes place is that Allah has allowed it to take place. And I would say to the listening audience, ask yourself, what role do you play, or what role would you like to play in the process with our people? As I think it was Sister Cheryl that sent a message earlier about the smaller community. See, to go back to where we came from, Brother James, you know, I came from the project areas, and I guess, you know, the white man named them the ghetto. That's where I came from. So I'm not going to try to go downtown or to the big mansions and knock on those doors. I'm going to where my people, where I came from. So to go back to where I came from and talk to them about atonement, talk to them about reconciliation, talk to them about forgiving one another, then we can put down the guns.
That's right.
Once we forgive each other, once we repent for the sins that we've done to others, once we've repented, then we can reconcile our differences and restore the community, restore the brotherhood, restore the sisterhood, the motherhood, the mother-daughter relationship, the father-son relationship, so that our community can grow and prosper and flourish as it once did. But we have to atone. We must look at this and say, well, you know, that's for the Muslims. No, it's not for the Muslims. Atonement is for everyone. Even the white man one day is going to want to atone for the sins that he's done to not only to the black man and woman here in America, but all over the planet Earth. For it says that Pharaoh, well, he didn't bear witness that there was no God but Allah until death came. Once death came, then he wanted to bear witness. He wanted to make atonement with Allah. I bear witness that you are Allah. Now I do, but death is here. But we don't want to wait till death shows up at our doors for us to ask for forgiveness for the wrong that we've done. Allah right now, dear brothers and sisters, has given us an opportunity to not only seek forgiveness from the people that have hurt us, but for us to forgive the people that have hurt us, but for when people come to us and point out the wrong, we have to be able to acknowledge that we've hurt people and not use the old cliche of, well, if I did offend you, don't be so fickle, don't be so thin.
Right. That's right. That's right.
See, that's invalidating someone else's pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when you invalidate someone else's pain, you don't want to atone.
You don't want to make it better. You want to make it seem they the one that's wrong. They the one, if they weren't so thin-skinned, they wouldn't have this problem. But that's not true. If you hadn't offended them, they wouldn't have this problem.
That's right.
But we want to be so tough at times and rather call somebody thin-skinned than, and it's harder to acknowledge that you hurt someone. I know that because it's been that way for me before. Just to say, man, I offended you, and then to be able to agree with that. You know, but we, as you mature and learn that we all want to be forgiven, then we have to first confess that we have wronged someone.
Gotcha.
And that's where we at in this stage of development in this time. Not just, you know, right now. I'm going to talk about in this time period in history and scripture. Mm-hmm. We're in a time frame where we have to look at one another and find out what is the problem. Why can't we unite? Well, that's because we don't atone with each other.
That's right.
Our unity is more powerful than the atom bomb. Well, we don't know that to be fact because we won't unite. Why won't we unite? Because we don't love each other, and we're not willing to come to each other in atonement. So our enemy try to stay among us and keep us separated. But if we can just come together as one and not in classes, you know, I got a bachelor's degree, you got an associate's degree. No, not like that. I'm rich and you poor. Not like that. If we can just come together as one man, one woman, in unity with Allah, in peace and love and happiness, if we can just come together like that, then we can move forward. And we will be time with the message. And the message, is, as the message is on time, we will be on time with the message, dear brother. And I would ask the brothers and sisters in the listening audience to just look at yourself and ask yourselves the question, what role do you play in this message? And what role would you like to play in the future of our people? Ask yourself that, because you have children and our community and our people need you. Our people, each one of us that are listening, our people need you, as we need you, the listening audience, that we can one day be free and work together, dear brother. Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother. Beautiful point you made. And as you referenced the time frame in which we should respond to the warning, to the mercy and grace given to us by Allah through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, I was listening to a message that the minister delivered in St. Louis. And one of the points he made was, we must take advantage of what Allah gives us of mercy in the season of his mercy. And while we are in the season of atonement and the ability to atone and the time to atone and to listen to the message and instruction of God's messenger, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, this time is not going to be forever. Every warning has a limitation of time. And what we must understand is the time and what must be done. We have time to atone.
Mm-hmm.
So let us atone while we have the time to do so, lest we suffer the wrath of Almighty God Allah for our disobedience to his servant. Thank you, brother, for your thought-evoking statements and message. I'm going to consider that for myself personally. What role do I want to play personally in the atonement process? Thank you for that, dear brother. Sister Aziza, are we ready with a question or statement from the brothers and sisters online?
Yes, we have a statement from Brother, I guess it's Charles S. He said, what will the economic blueprint do for most black people, are you saying that all blacks need to move to the country to be farmers? And you know, I ask this question for him because, you know, we have a lot of Christian audiences are either just people of different faiths or not affiliated with the Nation of Islam. And, of course, they have a right to understand the direction that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is taking our people through the message, and, of course, that messenger being the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, if you would, Brother James, expound on the fact that, you know, everyone is included in the nation, of course, and that there are different aspects under which we all can function in the economic blueprint. Everyone can't be a farmer. So I'll let yield to Student Minister James from Alabama for that question. Thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And I'm one, I guess I'm like the brother. I'm not a farmer either. But everyone does not have to be a farmer, you know, but everyone has to play a role in the resurrection process of our people. The point that we have to be aware of is the time. We're not in it. We're just not just saying, you know, as I would say when I go into the prisons a lot, you know, when we were growing up, and I'm quite sure, brother, who is those, I'm 43, and those that are older than me heard their parents say, one day this is going to happen, because they heard their parents say, one day this is going to happen, because they heard their parents say, one day this is going to happen. And so from 1555 on up, our people up from slavery have been saying, one day Jesus is going to come. One day this world is going to be destroyed. Well, that one day is here. It's not, you know, another 10, 20 years from now, 30-year process. We're in that point now where we're going to be, this that you see of this American government is going to be removed. And a government of God, a government of peace will reign. In order for that to take place, a lot of things have to be destroyed. All of us have a role to play in the resurrection process. Not all of us will be farmers. Not all of us. I don't know anything about farming myself, but I talked to some people that are farmers here in Montgomery and in Tuskegee, and I learned some stuff that I didn't even know was real. I was talking about pesticides, and a brother told me, that's a farmer. He said, well, brother, we don't use pesticides. He said, what we do is, see, this particular vegetable, say, I'm going to just use, I don't know them for sure, but let's say an onion. The onion plant, if you grow it besides a pepper plant, the bugs that don't eat onions, I mean, they eat onions, are the pesticide is the pepper plant. So you grow the pepper plant beside the onion plant. And then if you want to grow tomatoes, then you stick the tomatoes in the middle, say, where the carrots are at. And once you put them in the middle of where the carrots are at, each one of them represents a pesticide for the other plant. Wow. Now, see, I didn't know nothing like that. So I'm like, my goodness, you mean to tell me we don't have to have pesticides? We don't have to put a scarecrow in the middle of the garden? We don't have to do that? See, I don't know how to farm like that. I know how to eat it, but I don't know how to farm it. You know, I know what to do with it when you put it in a skillet now. I know how to saute it and fry it and bake it and grill it. So some of our people will be truckers. Some of our people have to run a store to be able to sell the product. So all of us have a role to play. You don't have to be Christian. You don't have to be Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, or Jewish, or Seventh-day Adventist. We as a people need to heal. We as a people need to eat. We as a people need to survive the time and what must be done. for we have to raise animals that can make clothing. Some of us will be working in clothing. We are making clothes. Some of us will be making shoes. You know, there's a lot of things that will be going on. Some of us will be working in computers. So it's not that all of everything needs to go to the farm, but it all begins with the farm.
Yeah.
From the farm, you build. So if you look at America, we didn't have Apple computers in 1877. You know, 1897, we didn't have laptops. We had land. And from land, we got red clay. And from land, we built buildings. And from the earth, we pulled iron ore, Birmingham, Alabama, and took that iron ore and mixed it with sulfur. Now you got airplanes and submarines and bullets and everything that's made out of metal from the earth. Everything starts from the earth. Anything that you want, it come out of the earth. So in order for us to build a future, dear Brother Glenn, all of us don't have to be farmers, but it all starts with land. And by donating your 5 cents a day, those of us, those farmers, and students that are learning how to cultivate the land, to raise the cows, to make the shoes that we wear, and the leather furniture that we sit on, we need to get that. If you like the leather shoes and the leather coats, then you need to donate your 5 cents a day.
Gotcha.
If you like cotton T-shirts, and cotton for pants, then I would advise you to donate your 5 cents a day so somebody could raise sheep and feed the sheep and take care of the sheep and get the wool and raise the cotton out of the ground. Somebody got to tend to the cotton gin. So even if you don't want to do it, dear Brother Glenn, we still need that cotton.
That's right.
So I would advise all, whether you want to farm or don't want to farm, donate the 5 cents a day. Set aside, I think it come out to like $20 a year. You can donate your $20 and have it already done with for the year. And don't even have to come back to next year, but surely you would want to do more than $20 a year for your own resurrection. Because that is how our enemy took over America. He did it with cotton. Cotton came from the land. And from cotton, he became billionaires and trillionaires from the cotton, off of the sweat and blood of the black man working the land, raising chickens and cows and sheep and whatnot. From that, this matter is how America was built. And what we have to do, dear brother and sisters, is go back to the land with those that know how to work the land. And from the land, we can resurrect our people. We can go forward. We will be stronger. We'll be more productive. And then the rest of the world will see us stand, and we can represent a civilized people that is independent and doing something for self, dear brother.
Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful answer, dear brother. Beautiful answer.
Yes, sir. And we have a question from a sister, Leanne. That's my dear sister out there. She says, what foods should we be storing up for hard times, and what kind of conditions can we expect?
Yes, ma'am. Could you say that one more time, ma'am?
She says, what food should we be storing up and for hard times, and what can we expect as far as conditions are concerned? And I guess she's, you know, I know Leanne pretty well. I guess she's talking about a period of time when we're really going to have to depend totally on one another. So she's asking about the types of foods that we need to store and what condition will the country be in at that time. Because I know you mentioned famine and, of course, war and things of this nature. So that is what she's referring to, Brother James.
Yes, ma'am. That is a really big question. I would ask the sister, she really need to contact the local mosque and ask for the local representative of or a MGT because they will have the guidelines sent down by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I believe, I don't remember what part it was, if it was 39 or 38, where he talks about the MGT will having a book produced on how to eat to live. And in that how to eat to live, it's showing us what we should store in our home. And the Honorable, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about things to store in your home like beans and water, things of that nature. And he taught us how to can food and how to star up food because all of us have different needs. I met a guy that I was buying raw milk from, they canned chicken. And when he showed it to me, I was like, man, how did you do that? And he raised chickens on his property. And what he did was he took the chicken and jarred it. So he had like a big jar, and he like cooked the chicken and everything and put it in the jar. So it was like you can see the meat and the chicken in the jar. So he was like, you know, this is for hard times. So if it come down to it, he just opened up the jar. He got chicken. Now, I don't eat chicken, so I can't tell you to store chicken in your home or fish or whatnot. I would say make sure that you got dry goods in your home. But you don't have to just contact an MGT. You can contact some of these churches where they have sisters, what you call a morning star, Eastern stars.
Mm-hmm.
Are those that are in the churches, and they'll tell you what. My grandmama, when I was a little boy, we had farmland, not farmland, but a garden. She had peaches, she had pears, she had apples in jars. She made her own jams, dear brother. Snap beans, things like that. You know, she kept around the house. So I can't tell you exactly what to store. It's to your own need, what you need, the size of your home, what the health needs of you and your family are, is what you want to store in your home. What's going to take place, I don't know. I know that according to Scripture, he said that he's going to destroy this world and bring in a new world. So how is that going to take place, I don't know. But I do know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, our righteousness will sustain us. So
that's
we have
right.
to prepare ourselves in this atonement process to where we don't victimize each other, that we work together as man and woman in our community. So whatever we store in our home, we evidently going to be using it to work together. For if you store a flower, you know, I may store up whatever go with flour to make bread. And we work together to make a loaf of bread or a pan of bread for our family. We have to find that process. We have to find a way to unite and atone with each other. So this sister, just to clear it up, I would say, first, I would reach out to a sister in the Nation of Islam to find out what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is advising the sisters of the Nation to store in their homes for their families. And if you're not around a sister in the Nation of Islam, I would say go to your church, your local church, go to the, I guess we call them the Mother Board or the Ursa Board, where the sisters or Eastern Stars, or I don't know the other names of them, and ask them, what do they store in their home and what do they advise for you to store in your home, because that would be the best thing for you. So it's not about Muslim, Christian. It's about human development, human growth. And in this time when you look over our history, when we were slaves, we didn't holler about Muslim, Christian. We were trying to be free. You know, we weren't trying to be free. I'm on the Owens farm and you on the Johnson farm. We weren't hollering about Johnson Owens. We were hollering about just be free. We were just trying to find freedom and peace with each other. That's what we were trying to do. And then after we got free, we started attaching ourselves to these labels. And these labels divided us, but at one time we were just happy to be a black man and black woman.
that is a free black man and free black woman.
That's
and I
right.
think that now we have to go back to that and say, hey, well, a famine is coming. Destruction is coming. What is it going to be? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows what it's going to be. But I know that if we are together, if we are one, and as Allah says in the scripture, where two or more are gathered in my name.
Come on, Brother James.
That shall I also be with them. So he didn't call us that. He didn't, you know, that was before Jesus in the New Testament. And when you talk to most, they say, well, Christianity started right there with Jesus. Well, this is Old Testament where he say two or more are gathered
yes,
in my
sir.
Name. Shall I also be with them? So if we just use that as brothers and sisters and say, well, two or more of us got something, then we got something to eat. Well, two or more of us got freedom, justice, and equality, then all of us got freedom, justice, and equality because Allah God is right there in the midst of all of us. If we come together as one, we have to accept the atonement process with each other. You don't have to, but they advise us to accept the atonement process and move forward in the atonement process and stop using labels as a way to divide us, stop using labels as a way to separate us, and stop allowing our enemy to come in there and say, yeah, but that's the Muslims. No, don't let them do that.
That's right, brother.
And we got to work together. We, us. You and I, we have to work together. It's not going to be about that in that day and time. You don't see our older brothers and sisters in Tuskegee and Brother James and listening audience that was there. They weren't hollering about that. There are no Muslim communities that I'm aware of in Tuskegee, but they accepted all of us.
That's right.
They accepted all of us. And according to what I understand, out of the nearly 2 million men, Brother James and Brother Kareem and sister that showed up in 1995, it's probably only 15-20% of them were Muslims.
That's right.
The other 1,500,000 and some thousand were Christians or another
faith. Right.
So we know that it's not about religious faith. But we've allowed someone to come in, and by allowing them to come in and dictate to us, now we're saying we can't unite. We have to atone for that. We need to atone with each other with that so that we can come together, because the time is coming that no man knows. According to the scripture, it said no man knows the hour nor the day.
That's right.
That means we don't know what's going to happen. We know it's not Greek mythology that some big giant man going to come from the sky with eagle with little babies flying around with hearts and all those things. That's Greek mythology. We know it's
That's
not going
right.
to be like that. That's just a story. You give stories to children. But when this day comes, I guarantee you when Noah closed the door on that boat and left, I guarantee you them people thought about reality. This rain is real.
Mm-hmm.
This flood is real. This water that's choking the oxygen out of my throat is real.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee they weren't hollering about Noah was crazy then. They were trying to find a way to make peace with God. And right now, dear family, it's our time to make peace with God.
That's
we
right.
need peace with God right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Atone and put your 5 cent up a day for yourself. Thank you.
And as you said, thank you, Brother James. And as you said, as you referenced Noah, the scripture states, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You're right on it, dear brother. And your point is well taken, and I hope by all who are listening. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we have about maybe 12 more minutes to the show. I want to leave some time to play an excerpt from the minister's message when he was leading the gathering in pledge.
during the Million Man March as he was closing out his message. Well, that's about, I think, about 5 minutes. So we have about perhaps 10 minutes or so to make some closing remarks. Are there any others who wish to say something before we go into the closing minutes?
One brother, okay, I don't know, it's Before You Love Me, that's the name in the chat room, but he says that how can the brothers in prison benefit from 5 cents a day? Can families set up funds for them so that they can have jobs and land when they get out?
And that's a good question. Yes, ma'am. And that is something that starting, I think, November, I think it was the 5th. Starting the 5th of November, I'll be when I start the prison tour throughout the state of Alabama, and we'll be pushing that with the southern region about we're going to give them the address that they can donate the 5 cents a day. And the government is to the point where they're not financially able to assist most of the states when it comes to the inmate population anymore, so they are preparing themselves to release the nonviolent inmates, or those that are incarcerated. Well, I know in Alabama, that's like 15,000. So if you're in Birmingham, it's 12% unemployment. So with that much unemployment, there's no jobs for our men and sisters and women when they come home. But if they donate the 5 cents a day, they can do it themselves, or their family can do it themselves. Because they are going to be needed. Our people are going to be needed in all walks of life. All of the inmates, all of those on death row, the lawyers, the attorneys, whatever you are, an engineer, architectural, whatever, computer scientists, everybody is going to be needed. Everybody will benefit from 5 cents a day. The only people that won't benefit from 5 cents a day are those that aren't on the planet. If you're on the planet, you'll benefit from the 5 cents a day that will go towards the purchase of land, purchase of machines, purchase of warehouses, purchase of boats, purchase of planes to fly the food, deliver the food, purchasing of the processing plants, all of those things that are needed, everyone will benefit from. The Mexicans, anyone that'll be here, will benefit from the 5 cents a day. Everyone, no one is excluded. Not one person. If Allah allow all of us to be here, all of us will benefit from it, because together we will unite as one, and as one we can go before Allah, and Allah will deliver us. And as the scripture will say, if my people would just hearken to my voice, just hear my voice and turn from their wicked ways. I mean, just listen. If they can just hear the voice, to hear it and understand it, accept that voice and turn from their wicked ways, that then I will hear from heaven. Well, there's a condition. There are things that we have to do. And he said, my people, those that believe in him, those that believe in God. So it does not matter where you're at. If you would just believe in Allah, God, and believe in the message that he's given to us, and wherever walk of life that you're in, you'll find yourself basking in freedom, justice, and equality. But as you bask in freedom, justice, and equality, remember those of us that do not have, as we strive to go forth in life. If you don't know, if you can't give 5 cents a day, then find somebody else that can give the 5 cents a day for you. Because surely we're all in need. And yes, ma'am, I think to the brother, surely those in prison would benefit a lot from the 5 cents a day, either through their families or they can contact me, and I will do my best to guide them to how they can do that for those that are incarcerated, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother James. And I know the excerpt from the Mini Memoirs is about 5 minutes long, so I got two things I want to do right quick. I want to talk about all of y'all who are on the phone and then ask a question. Don't make me start calling out your names, Brother Eugenio, Sister Diatoma. I'm going to start calling you Sister Denver, Los Angeles. Monster 27, y'all are really misrepresenting. Dallas, Houston, oh, I see all y'all. Washington, D.C., all of y'all. I got you. I got you. And I want to thank you, Student Minister James Muhammad. This is your first time on the show, and if I'm not mistaken, so we got a rule on this show. You can come on here one time, but you can't just come on here one time. So
that's right.
Definitely, we have to have you back. It was such an honor to hear you. I've had a conversation with you over the phone, but I've never had a chance to kind of like hear you speak and hear you teach a little bit. So it was very enlightening, and I just want to thank you for joining the Nation Builder Network tonight. And you have an open invitation to return anytime. We have 7 shows. We're on every day. So anyone, you pick one. But I just want you to know you're definitely welcome back. And I'm going to shut up and turn it over to the host, Brother James. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You represent my sentiments exactly, Queen Aziza. You're very much welcome. And as I read your bio and looked at the picture attached to it, remember when I had spoke to you, I said I wondered if our paths had crossed or have we ever met formally or face-to-face, and I certainly do know you, brother, and we have met face-to-face. So I'm all praises due to Allah. I also want to correct something in which I was remiss. You know, you mentioned Brother Mikel from Tuskegee. I did not know that we had a study group in Tuskegee. I thought the nearest study group to Tuskegee was in Montgomery. But you have enlightened me, and I want to ask my brother's forgiveness for not mentioning him and, of course, the study group there. As a host study group and city to the celebration of the Million Man March and the Day of Atonement. So please forgive me, Brother Mikel, if you're listening. And if someone is listening and Brother Mikel is not listening, please share with him my apology to him. But we thank Allah for you and your efforts in Tuskegee, brother, and we encourage you to continue to spread the work and message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. Thank you, brother.
And thank you, Queen Aziz. Thank you so much. I see you're on Facebook often, so I know that you're
a very busy
person. And inshallah, be it Allah's will, I'll be glad to join you again. And I am so honored to be here and talk to your listening audience. This is awesome. This is great. And I read, I'm gonna close with this. I was in Walmart today, and I read a T-shirt. And the T-shirt said, I was told that I could be anything that I wanted to be, so I chose to be awesome.
Yes, sir. Very good.
Thank you. And may Allah bless all of you with the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. You know, I'll be seeing you on Facebook. You miss my Facebook friend.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Sister Aziza, you want to make the announcement and then go right into the excerpt? Thank you again, Brother James, and, of course, thank you all in the listening and participating audience. Thank you.
Yes, and
I want Brother James
to stay, and I want all of the listening audience who is on the phone, especially the brothers, since this was geared up for you. But, of course, in the spirit of atonement is something that we all need to pledge to ourselves and to our families and
That's all right. Of
our loved ones and everyone that we may encounter. This is a very historical pledge. We played it often. It is something that will always be rooted in my spirit personally because I was one of the few women who were up on the hill, actually, at the Million Man March at 3 o'clock in the morning, and to see that beautiful sea of black men, and especially the fruit of Islam with that government on their shoulders, that crescent moon and star. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sight that will always be with me all the days of my life. And so join us as we now begin to take the pledge that we all took 18 years ago, October the 16th, 1995, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you. All right, Brother Kareem, let's do it.
Take this pledge with me. Say with me, please. I. Say your name. Pledge that from this day forward, I will strive to love my brother as I love myself. I. Say your name. From this day forward, will strive to improve myself spiritually, morally, mentally, socially, politically, and economically, for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. I. Say your name. That I will strive to build business, build houses, build hospitals, build factories, and enter into international trade for the good of myself, my family, and my people. I say your name. newspaper, black radio, black television. I will support black artists who clean up their act to show respect for themselves and respect for their people and respect for the ears of the human family.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Thank you, dear family.
Allahu Akbar.
And may Allah bless you all. Bless
okay,
us
wait,
all.
Okay, wait. Just a second. Brother Kareem, do we have time
yes,
to take that question? We got, somebody on the line for you, Brother James.
Oh, okay. Yes, please. Area code 972, your mic is live. Area code 972.
Maybe they changed their mind.
What city is that? What area is that, 972?
That's Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Dallas, Fort Worth, up in that area.
Okay.
Come on, Dallas, Fort Worth. Well, maybe that's
they're
just my cue to come back on next time.
Okay. Well, then that's it, then.
All right. Thank you again, Brother James. And thank you again to our listening audience. And before we close, I must say, as I always am desirous of expressing my gratitude, thank you, our dear beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, for the wonderful
aww
forum that mm-hmm you extend to us and to mm-hmm me personally as host of this show, The Time. I was about to say the time and what must be done, but in fact about it, it is about the time and what must be done. But the title of the show, of course, is Put on the New Man. Thank you, dear sister. May Allah
well,
continue
Brother
to
James,
bless you.
You know, I have to say this. You know, building this network has been the easy part. But truly, you say that to me all the time, but in all honesty, dear brother, it's you, Brother Kareem, Brother Vernon, Brother Jihad, DJ Black Caesar, and of course, our various hosts on Young, Gifted, and Black that really, really make up this network. So it is I who am thankful to Allah for each and every one of you, because certainly, certainly, Nation Building Network would not even be in existence if I didn't have dedicated people like yourselves and all the rest of the hosts, yourself and all the rest of the hosts, to actually do this work week after week, day after day. So I am thankful that Allah put all of you in my life for us to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is our duty, and I just thank Allah for giving me such a beautiful, beautiful, not only nation family, but networking family. So, brothers, I'm humbled by your thanks every week, but it is I who actually owe you thank you. So I thank all of you, and I love you all. Thank you.
Love you too, sis.
Me too. Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother Kareem, for always stepping in, being my back. You know, you got my back like no other. So thank you, Brother Kareem. He was kind of quiet tonight, but I want to let him know I don't take him for granted. I thank you so very much for stepping
that's
in.
That's right. That's right.
I want to ask a question. Do we know, is there a way of knowing how many people are listening or will listen to the show?
Yes, sir. Today is Friday, so this report will be out on Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can put it in your inbox, Brother James.
Thank you so much, man. I greatly appreciate that. So I can tell my children that their dad is a superstar.
Well, indeed you are, brother.
Well,
indeed
you know what,
you
Brother James? I can put the link on your page, too, and y'all can go back and listen to it.
Okay, well, I definitely like to do that.
Yeah, you can get them all together, and y'all can listen to it.
Okay, and we can share with the brothers in the prison that have a way off doing that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All praise
be
due
to
Allah. Let me say
right,
that it is, Brother James, I can just say this, that it is thousands, brother.
All praise be due to Allah.
There's thousands that
yes,
are listening.
Yes, and
to
we have to welcome London, England in the house.
All right, London.
Yeah, they in here deep. Okay, I see y'all. That's for my sister Millie. Okay, well, that's our show for tonight. Thank you, Student Minister James Muhammad, and thank you, Student Minister James Muhammad, both of you.
Yes.
But tonight, as we close, so we leave you as we came before you with our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.